Hello, good evening. I'm Paul the Vicar. I know many of you. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming. We're going to think about the Lord Jesus for a few minutes together. We sang in a carol, where meek hearts receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, grant us meek hearts, that you may enter in, that we might know blessing from the hand of God forever. Amen. Here are some pictures. William Shakespeare, George Washington, Mary Shelley, Meryl Streep and Bill Gates all have in common? Well, in some way or another, they've all left their mark on the world, more than most people have, anyway. Shakespeare enriched our language. If you've ever been on a wild goose chase, know somebody with a heart of gold, or need to break the ice, that's all come from him. George Washington helped enshrine principles of democratic government and the peaceful transition of power. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, the first science fiction novel. How many of those have there been? Meryl Streep set standards for emotionally powerful character acting, I'm told. And Bill Gates transformed personal computing and communication for almost everybody. Now, this might seem a slightly strange question, but if you met one of these people, what might you say to them about their mother? I mean, I know what I'd say to Shakespeare, William. Why didn't your mom push you into another line of work to save generations of school children all kinds of confusion? Or to Bill Gates, your mom did well to make you a generous humanitarian, but why didn't she warn you that emails would never stop increasing in number? Well, it turns out that all these famous folk have something else in common too. They all had mothers called Mary. And so in an utterly seamless move to Christmas, that gives each of them two things in common with Jesus Christ. Jesus also had a mother called Mary, and there's definitely a case to be made that he has changed the world too. In fact, it's a reasonably straightforward case to make, that Jesus, son of Mary, has changed the world more than anyone else. We so often miss this because Jesus has changed the world so much that we take for granted the things that he brought and established in our world. Here are just a few. The value of children in society and the value of educating all of them. Caring for the weak and the poor in homes, hospitals, and hospices. That making sacrifices for the sake of others with no gain to yourself is a noble and not a foolish thing to do. That the leaders of nations should obey the laws of that nation just like everybody else. That business practices ought to be honest and straightforward. That justice systems ought to deliver fair trials. You might say that's obvious, but none of that was at all commonplace, expected, or worked towards until Jesus came. The seeds of it should have been sown in Jewish culture before Jesus came, but it never got any traction. Only when he came did these changes begin to take hold. He was the first leader who obeyed his own laws. It was his followers who opened the first hospitals and schools. It was him who taught that our yes should be yes. It's a reasonable case that Jesus has changed the world more than anyone else, or in today's language, he is the greatest influencer the world has ever known. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, and power must have rested on him for him to have brought such change to our world, just as we heard the prophet Isaiah wrote 750 years before Jesus was born. You might think we're losing some of these things at the moment, and maybe we are. But ultimately, that's only a measure of how much we're forgetting about Jesus. He has changed the world. Well, of course, Christmas is about his birth, born of Mary. Now, people sometimes make light-hearted predictions about a baby to the mother. Oh, he's going to be a professional footballer if he kicks like that. Or surely she will win X Factor, purely on the basis of that first scream when emerging from the womb. Well, there were many, many things said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, around the time that she was to give birth. They were much more serious predictions about who the baby was and what he would do. Way more serious than any we ever make. She was told by the angel, we had it read, that he would be a king, that he would bring about a new world where everything wrong would be put right. There was all kinds of talk about consolation and mercy for people and the peaceful ordering of all relationships from the personal at home to the whole family of nations. Even the environment would thrive, and in the end, the life of this kingdom of his would never get interrupted or falter. I wonder, as you sit here now, if you can, you know, just possibly think of anything that might be wrong with the world. Well, it was said that he would sort it out. Not only what is wrong with the world, but also that he would sort out what was wrong with me and what's wrong with you too. He would put us right. He would put everything right. The angel sent by God and speaking to Mary knew Jesus was coming to fix all the problems that my ignoring of God and everybody else's ignoring of God, just like from that very first reading, Eve in the garden with the fruit, coming to fix all the problems that we've brought to God's world. And the angel also knew that Jesus' work would be fully finished and complete because the good God of heaven sat behind and was orchestrating all that was happening. Mary heard all these predictions about her son. She tucked them away in her heart. She never forgot them. She might have been pretty confused by many of them. And she got on with raising the lad and watching him grow. And other people watched him too. When he lived and taught and led his disciples, they listened to his teaching. They saw him actually start putting right for people some of the things that were wrong, like sickness and even death, stopping evil, making progress, feeding the hungry, astonishing things that they couldn't explain away. And he openly declared forgiveness to people for what was wrong with them. He was actually beginning to do the things that had been predicted of him. Now, we don't altogether know what Mary made of it all. But there was another woman, one of Mary's contemporaries, who also spent some time watching Mary's son. And by watching Jesus, this other woman knew that Mary must be the top Mary of all Marys. Shakespeare, Shelley, Streep, notwithstanding, this Mary's son was more than all the rest. In fact, she must not only be the Mary of all Marys, but also the mother of all mothers, and probably the woman of all women. Nobody had ever seen anyone like the son that she raised. Remember, I asked that slightly strange question a few minutes ago. If you met one of these famous people, what might you say to them about their mother? Well, this woman knows exactly what to say to Jesus about his mother. The eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life record this. One day, she raised her voice in the middle of the crowd and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Now, blessed means that everything in every regard is right forever between the blessed person and God. Everything in every regard is right forever between the blessed person and God. We tend to use blessed a bit lightly. You sneeze and somebody says, "Bless you." Or a small child does something really badly, but cutely, like trying to eat a yogurt for the first time, and we go, "Oh, bless." Few of us mean in those moments, may everything in every regard be right between you and God forever. But that's what the word really means. Now, I'm sure it is a real honour to have a child who changes the world. Jill and I have four daughters. It's a bit different, I guess, if you're one of the Marys, with the Marys that we've thought about. It's most different for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because he changed, and by his influence or power, call it what you will, continues to change the world. She's a mother like no other. It's very difficult to disagree with the woman who cried out that having the child Jesus and nursing and raising Jesus is indeed a blessing, and that that his mother is the most blessed of all Mary's mothers and women. But immediately she says it, Jesus very gently redirects the woman and the crowd, amazingly, to something better. She says, "Blessed is your mom." And Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Don't miss this. This is Jesus' invitation to you, to me, to everyone in every generation all over the world. His invitation to be more blessed than Mary, his mother, despite all the proper honour she might be, that she might be given because of the son that she bore. Your invitation to be more blessed than her. "Blessed is your mom," the woman says, and Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." The word of God is everything that God has to say to his world. It all comes to us through Jesus. It's recorded in the Bible. It's here to hear and to keep and obey. There's no problem for you and me getting hold of the word of God. So actually, there's not much excuse for not hearing it. But Jesus' invitation is to hear it and to keep it. What does it mean to keep the word of God when we have heard it? Well, in the first place, that Jesus is right and I'm wrong. I change what I think rather than thinking Jesus is irrelevant or doesn't really understand. To keep his word, to obey his word, is to hear it and stand ourselves under its authority. So that's going to change our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. We'll see life differently. We'll speak about things and people differently. We'll live our lives differently. We'll do it all in right relationship with God. We'll receive that forgiveness that Jesus brought as we turn ourselves towards him, letting him teach us and living in the light of what God has said to the world through him. Now, that is quite an invitation, because it comes from the greatest influencer of all time, the one from whom so much good has come, So to keep in step with him will inevitably bring good to the world. But it's an even more staggering invitation than that. The invitation comes to you from the one who came from the God of heaven to put everything right that was wrong. With you, with me, and with the world. And to make sure that it would never go wrong again. Hear and obey his word, and you can only be on the way to everything that is good. To keep his word must mean you're on the road to everything in every regard being right forever between you and God and everything else. It's the road to greater blessing than Mary ever received for being Jesus' mother. Because yes, indeed, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So as we head into and through the Christmas season, as you see the cards, you hear the carols and sing some, you watch the nativities, hopefully some of them will picture, sing and play out the actual historical birth of Jesus to a real woman called Mary. Or as you hear the accounts of these events read from the Bible, or even as you read them for yourself from the Bible, there's only really one question that is being asked of you. It's not how Mary felt about the whole thing, or how Joseph felt for that matter, or how badly the shepherds smelt, or whether the wise men used sat-nav or not. It's not how many presents we get and if we like them, or if the food is enough or good enough. The only question that is being asked of you and me as we are confronted by the birth of Jesus again this year, is are we hearing and keeping the word of God? Are you hearing and keeping the word of God? To be blessed means that everything in every regard is right forever, including between you and God. Blessed are those who hear and keep the word of God. How are you doing on that measure? You may be noticing, even perhaps for the very first time, that you've actually been a little bit deaf towards God. Well, there are many people around you tonight, and there's a church that meets here every week. There's something called a Hope Explored course in the new year, all of which can help you to get going with hearing the word of God. And as those who hear, we can also help each other to keep the word of God. And together we'll find ourselves under God's hand of blessing. Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That is Jesus making his invitation to you now. How will you respond? So, in the fullest possible sense, I want you all to have a blessed Christmas, a Christmas blessed at the hands of Jesus Christ.